These bandanas make it hurt. Welcome to the Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Interested in the IT field and looking for a way to break in? Are you a college student or looking for a career change? The IT industry is booming and has tons of opportunity. It's vast, complex, and can be overwhelming, but we can help. Come along as we break down some of the barriers as your insider to the tech industry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's edition of Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. From far and wide, welcome wherever you're listening from. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm your host, Pat. You can find me on Twitter at Layer8Packet. That's the number 8. And Kyle is with me as always, doing his thing, riding shotgun. Kyle, you're on Twitter at Danith256. The show is on Twitter at Breaking Bytes Pod. So we're pretty active on Twitter. Come say hello. Kyle, what's up, man? Another week. Here we are discussing all things IT and trying to help some of the newbies break into this crazy world that we've been living in the last 20-ish years. What's up, man?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, everything's pretty good, pretty standard. Real hot this week. Kind of gross. Just being outside is not great. Even inside isn't so great. But, you know, we get by. Got to keep the equipment cool, right? That's the only thing that's really important.
You got to keep the
rest of us are
expendable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to keep the hamsters well fed and watered, or else they don't do anything. So, and taking away internet, it makes me a sad boy.
Exactly. Right.
So, yeah, it's really hot this week here in our little corner of the world. Kyle and I are in Pennsylvania. If you're not aware, if you're listening from wherever, yeah, it's super hot this week, and I am not okay. Like, I just took the garbage out a couple minutes ago before this show, and I was just like, all right, that 30-second walk down the driveway was just enough for me. Like, I'm ready to be inside. This is not okay. you know, like, us bigger people, we don't do well with the heat. It's not a good mix. So yeah, super hot. But getting back to on task here, I've been looking forward to this episode for quite a while. We have a good friend of mine, former coworker of mine, Miss Nikki Townsend, with us tonight. And Nikki, I'm going to get your title right. You are currently the manager of customer success at Microsoft. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you add one more word on there. It's super long. It's manager of customer success account management.
Oh, wow. So, all right, then.
I know. A manager of managers? No. But yeah, that's great. We do have customer success managers and customer success account manager.
Okay.
So that is what I do. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
A little tongue twister. Yeah, absolutely. Nick, you and I go way back a couple of years to a former employee of both of ours. Nick and I both worked at Evolve IP, who, if you don't know what Evolve IP is, they are a cloud strategy company for the last couple of years. But when Nick and I were there, they were a cloud services company. And Nick, you would agree, most of their bread and butter was their hosted VoIP platform, phones, exactly. UCaaS, stuff like that. That's where their bread that's where their bread was buttered. We had a lot of fun at Evolve. At least I did. It was one of those places where it was different. It felt like a startup, but it really wasn't a startup, if that makes sense. They did a lot of good things, like, you know, they had quarterly meetings where they would, you know, cater and, you know, wine and booze. It was cool party vibes. And, or, you know, Friday, you know, people would crack a beer at 12 and, you know, work at their desk and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it had that start. And we had, you know, the ping pong tables and the Xbox and we had all that stuff, which was really cool. It had that startup feel to it, but we did a lot of work and we played hard and we worked hard. And I think that's probably the best way to sum that up, that time of life. Wouldn't you agree there, Nikki?
Yeah. And I think the startup environment is accurate. And I think what you're describing is culture. I mean, they were and truly regionally, at least outside Philly, an innovator when it came to open concept for, you know, for just the way we were organized and how we sat next to each other. There were no walls between us. There were no cubicles. It was just open concept, sharing of ideas and collaboration and just early, you know, sort of trendsetter when it came to that open work concept and just an incredibly close culture. When you're doing projects like we were, to your point, we wore so many hats. We were up late working together side by side. You know, some of the projects would go into the weekends and we built that company together as a team and it was like a family. So yeah, I think it was a really special time for me, certainly as a woman in tech.
We really Man, we really hit it hard there for a while. We were just, it was just nonstop. People were just constantly back and forth, and it was just hot and heavy. Just anybody was coming through there. And I mean, and I was part of the Service Activation Center, which we called it the SAC for short, which was kind of funny.
I remember that. I was like, okay, this is a lot of acronyms going on here. Right. But that one in particular was sort of interesting.
So I was part of the Service Activation Center. So basically my responsibility was like a field engineer, right? So our bread and butter, Evolve's bread and butter, was hosted VoIP. So we would configure, you know, voice routers, Cisco switches. It's some folks that we did their managed data. So, you know, Cisco ASAs, things of that nature. And then if it was in, I think it was like a 50-mile radius of King of Prussia, we would, you know, it would be my team, you know, hitting the street and going out and putting it in. But if it was nationally, then we, you know, we contracted through Granite Telecom, and they would call in and we would tell them where to plug things. And this port goes to there and, you know, make sure, you know, the routers come online, and, you know, you pick up a phone, make sure you can call, and back to the project manager it went for the actual port of numbers and actually go live. But, you know, to your point, Nikki, like working after hours, I put so many after hours into that, because nobody switches to a different phone system in the middle of the day, right? So like we literally were like, it was 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, sometimes midnight. And one of our biggest client at that point, I won't name names, but they were all over, and, you know, they were on the West Coast, and it's like, all right, well, 6 o'clock on the West Coast is 9 o'clock here, and, or, you know, 7, 10, things of that nature. So it's like, we put in a lot of hours. I put in more hours at my own kitchen table than I did at, you know, in my office, or, you know, in our open cubicles there. But it was a great time. We learned a lot. It was really cool. What? And I got Flyers tickets out of it. So that was all good too.
Hey, we entertained customers. Well, and you know, I love where you're going with that, because you were talking about you guys were the entry point for these customers. Yeah. And so you guys, from a technical perspective, would provide, you know, activation. But there's so much more that you did. I mean, you became friendly with these customers and got to know them over the life of that install. And then, the project manager was involved and that was there too. And the handoff from you guys to our team, which was account management, was just a wonderful experience. You know, working side by side with someone incredibly technical and listening to the way you guys talk to customers.
Yep.
And then allowing us to take the customer and drive them through the journey that they were on with us was just really exciting. That's how I learned how to talk about the stuff that I know today. I mean, you in particular. I mean, you really know. How many times at night were you be like, okay, well, this is what the switch does. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, all right. You know, so it was just like education coming at you left and right, you know, just on the job training and really learning how things work.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, sharpening your skills on how you build relationships with customers.
Yeah. And I remember there was a few times where, you know, we would, you know, be so close to these customers or whoever our point of contact was technically. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, they'd call in and, you know, they'd want to talk to us, like one of us in my department. Yeah. That kind of thing. Cause they kind of knew where we were, you know, what our skill level was and where we were coming from. So we tried to curb some of that. But, you know, that handholding never quite stops, right? As we all know. So, but yeah, I mean, so you know, for customers and getting to know customers and, you know, kind of building that trust, like I left Evolve for a customer. So they were like, we really like you. We want you on our team. And I was like, okay, see ya. You know, it's like, all right, cool.
And so that's what I mean. I think people in tech or who are more technical like yourself, I think you underestimate the relationship quality. You become a trusted advisor for these customers.
Yeah.
And I try to coach my current team on that very notion that you can be really good at relationship and you can be really good at tech. But if you happen to have both, you're at a real advantage to have a customer truly trust you. And I sincerely mean that. They literally will reach out and recruit you if they could, you know, because they know you understand their business. And you want to help them provide, you know, value around the services and solutions that you're installing. And that there's nothing like it, because they could get the service kind of anywhere, to be honest with you, when it's commoditized, the way some of this stuff, you know, becomes so quickly ubiquitous. I think it just, you got to stand out. And if you can have a relationship with the customer, that helps you stand out.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we talk about this on the show all the time, you know, your EQ is just as important as your IQ, right? And your actual skills. So I think it is more, I think it's shifting more, right? So I think EQ is more important, at least in some veins. And it's more like a 75, 25 type of deal with EQ versus IQ. So yeah, you can never be too nice to somebody and at least, you know, form that human element in that relationship with people. So Yeah, I had a blast. Yeah. It was really great. It really kind of grew, you know, grew my skills. And as far as getting some real hands-on work and seeing what actual life is like out there and getting just wide open to everything. I thank Evolve for a lot of things and kind of put me on the fast track to my IT career is certainly one of them, because they really did. Looking back at it now, you know, it's very, you know, you look on it very humbling as far as, you know, the people that you meet, the, you know, the relationships you meet, you know, that you have, and then obviously, you know, what people can, you know, do for you later. So
totally
I think it's been awesome. So kind of circling off of that, Nikki, I left Evolve in 15, 16.
I think it was.
Something like that. I can't believe it was that long ago.
Yeah.
So, and I know Evolve has gone through a lot of changes in the last, especially in the last couple of years, like 2-3 years, like they've really kind of, I don't want to say pivoted, but like there's a lot of people that I know that don't either work there anymore for various reasons. So when did you kind of skedaddle and find Microsoft, or did Microsoft find you?
I mean, I think it was a little bit of both, which is actually really cool.
Yeah.
So I left at the end of 2020. So I finished off that the COVID year, the first COVID year, I guess you could say, which was truly challenging for everybody. Evolve did some incredible things. They were definitely one of the first, again, you know, sort of more regionally based companies that was able to offer a Teams enabled seat, which was awesome because everybody was keeping, you know, their staffs at home and being like, okay, wait a second. Yeah, we have Zoom. Oh, we have Slack. Oh, we have some Teams over here. Like they didn't really know what was going on. They had different, you know, types of chat systems and ways of communicating. Some people were living on their cell phones, doing FaceTime. It was crazy. So Evolve was really going through some great growth, I think, actually during COVID, which was fantastic for them. And that actually felt like a really good time, believe it or not, to say, okay, I think I've done all I can here. Mm-hmm. So after I built their account management team with, you know, some of the executives, of course, and some of the folks that had hired me, you know, prior to me getting there, another lovely young woman that I still know and talk to her almost every day today. She hired me in and she said, you know, I knew that we would get along really well and you would help us build this team. So I felt great about that. And it was time for me to move on. I had applied to Microsoft, you know, maybe a couple times. I want to say this might've been my third attempt. It takes a while to get into a larger company.
Right.
You know, we're coming from these small, you know, enterprise that we were part of, you know, like you said, startup feel, but a very much incredible culture and good corporate values. But we did a lot of things ourselves. You know, I built an account management team. You helped build an activation center. Like, I mean, there's just a lot of entrepreneurial aspects to who we are. I mean, look what you're doing now. You have a podcast, you have a full-time job, you have a family. That's just how we're built. And so getting into a larger company is not easy. So I think it was my third attempt and I had a really strong referral, which helped a lot. That's certainly something that helps when you're trying to get to just to even figure out what position would align with what you currently do, if that's what you're looking for. So don't necessarily believe in luck, but it felt like the stars and the universe collided, right? Like where there was this perfect, you know, preparation that I had made to get into Microsoft. And they happened to have an opening for a manager doing exactly what I was doing, which was managing a team of account managers who support enterprise or like S500 customers. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool because it happened to also be that they needed the manager to cover media and entertainment customers, which was just like blowing my mind because I had some experience with a product line that I took to QVC and I had, you know, spent a lot of time with the QVC world. And so I knew kind of what it was like to be in media, especially coming out of a pandemic or actually in the middle of a pandemic. So the stars just totally, you know, aligned for me. And I got the role in April of 2021, but it takes about 10 weeks to onboard. So I actually started in June of 21. Mm. So I've been there for about 1 year.
Wow.
And managing a team of 10 people who support these media and entertainment S500, you know, customers that are, a few of them are global, and helping them, you know, just take their digital transformation journey through Microsoft across all the clouds that they offer.
Sure.
So it's, yeah, so I've been there just about a year.
Yeah, it's interesting. So as far as your role now, is there a specific like vein you work in? Like, because Microsoft has a, you know, a ton of stuff. So like, are you more focused in like O365 or Azure or like Teams and UCaaS or Power BI? Or like, do you have a vein in that or is it everything?
It is. And here's what it is. It depending upon how the customer entered their relationship with Microsoft, many of them could have entered with an M365, you know, sort of enterprise agreement, which would be the likely case. And some of them by now, especially by the time I joined, had embarked on some kind of journey in with Azure, you know, bringing some workloads in or some applications or whatever. But really the job is exactly that. Yes, what we do is cross solution with our account executive and our technology lead. So pretty much every customer in the portfolio has an account manager, a salesperson, and a technology lead that's like their core team. And of course, there's tons of people around that support them. But depending upon how they've entered into the relationship, our job with those other roles is to go in and talk to them about their business needs. What kind of outcomes are they looking for? How can we help them meet their goals? And so, yeah, that does mean cross-solutioning into Azure if they're not currently engaged in those opportunities with us. Power BI could be Dynamics. So yeah, basically across all the Microsoft clouds. And it's really fun because it makes it limitless. There's like nothing we can't help a customer with, which is really great.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. So how many clients do you currently like support? Like, is it like a hard, like fast number? Like, okay, you know, each person gets 10 accounts or is there a number of that? Or is there like a skill level to say, okay, look, you know, this account person is really good in, you know, Office 365 or Azure. So I'm going to give you this one. Or like, how does that work?
Oh yeah. You touched on some really good stuff there. So there's a lot of meat here.
Okay.
I'm going to unpack that one, but here's where that goes. In the world that I'm in, within the region that I'm in, which is the Northeast region, I'm on the strategics team. So that typically would mean that one S500 customer, it's not always a one-to-one, you know, would have one CSAM or one account manager supporting them. Now, they might have more than one, actually. So to your point, where we're headed, because the role is evolving and growing so much, is that it's very likely that an account might have something like a global CSAM that sits atop all the businesses across all the countries that they might, you know, be doing business in. And they might also have a CSAM that's specific to Azure, maybe Modern Work, could be the other way around. It could be that there is someone sitting like more as a portfolio director, and perhaps that the two CSAMs, maybe there's two of them, maybe one of them shares more of the support and contractual obligations, and the other one is solutioning. So we actually have the freedom, which is beautiful, to craft whatever works for that strategic customer. What are their needs? What is their makeup? How is their roadmap look? How are they organized? Can we align to maybe how they're organized? Even though it's one customer and one CSAM, you know, that's typically how that works. As we grow the customer and they essentially, maybe not just spend more, but do more with us, we can add more resources, meaning additional CSAMs, and then we can start giving those CSAM specific roles, which is so exciting. So there's so much potential in this particular role right now at Microsoft. It is really exciting to be part of that. And I knew that was happening when I was looking for the role, but I didn't realize how much actual growth and potential there is for these people. So to answer your question, in my particular area, it's typically one strategic customer gets at least one to two, you know, CSAMs. Some other sectors will have, a CSAM might actually have, yes, like 10, 20, 30 accounts. And they sort of organize the business a little differently across that. But in my particular portfolio, we're lucky that we get to just really be dedicated to that one customer.
Yeah, I think that helps. I think in today's world, with some of the bigger players out there, right, the Microsofts, the, you know, the Googles with their, you know, GCP, right? The Ciscos, the VMwares, all that kind of stuff. They all sort of borrow from that model because, you know, obviously when you are a larger company, you sort of have more pull because you are that large and it comes down to dollars, right? People take care of the that spend dollars. So I think it is what it is, right? That's the, you know, I don't say the ugly truth, but it's just, it is what it is. But yeah, I think that's a part of it, right? I think that's, you know, the bigger you are, the more, you know, the more grease you get from, you know, from the wheel that you're pushing. So, you know, I feel like that. So is there, and I don't know, is there a way to sort of have some of the small, quotes, smaller guys get noticed or get up the ladder, if you will, and try to be on par with some of those bigger guys when it comes to getting support? Because I know quite a few companies that are small, but they make a lot of bank. Now, whether they're spending it on vendors, that's a different story. But, you know, so size doesn't necessarily mean money pumping out. So like you could, you know, you could have both, right? You could be a small place and really make some bank, or, you know, as much or whatever as a larger one. So how do you get the smaller guys that have a smaller footprint or people-wise, mm-hmm. right, employee-wise, to come up and really get that experience that some of the larger folks or larger companies, you know, enjoy,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, that's interesting because is it the case that every customer gets essentially, you know, the same type of resources? No, not really. Right. I mean, there's certainly certain sectors that you're right, or maybe they get more reactive support and that's about it. But, you know, I would say that Microsoft is so good at showing customers what other options they have, what opportunities they have to grow their business with us. So very quickly, a customer could engage in, let's say, just like a Teams deal for their entire organization. And even if it's not a large quantity of users, we do look at that pretty seriously. And at least there's an opportunity for them to have maybe like a downstream version of what we do in the strategics. So there are definitely teams of people that reactive/proactive would be able to show the customer what it's like as they grow with us and give them more and more attention. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, yes, I think that we are giving customers a lot more of that and a lot less on the reactive side. Like, oh, look, you can only call us when there's something wrong. So we've looked at the entire customer base and really put a big push towards growing relationships and being incredibly customer centric. It, to your point, maybe regardless of the number of seats you have or regardless sure. of how many clouds you actually adopt at Microsoft, it's all about the customer is driving the decisions we're making for technology. If you ever listen to Satya or any of our executives talk, or Amy Hood, our CFO, they'll talk about it is the customer. It is the consumer too, but from gaming perspective, but the customer on the enterprise, the business side, that's driving the need for the technology change. And so with that, we do give back a lot of support. We do give them a lot of resources. And there is a tipping point there where the minute they start, again, engaging in more of those opportunities with us, they will kind of grow enough to be able to have some of the dedicated resources like I have on my team. So So there's a trajectory there. There's a journey that we want them to go on with us.
Sure. That makes sense. Kyle, you have anything to add to that?
No, I'm actually learning a whole lot about this whole situation right now. Yeah. So I'm like super engrossed in what's going on here.
We're going to tell everybody, bring on Teams, put everything in the Azure cloud, come on over to Microsoft. We can service any size customer is the point. And we really can. I mean, truly, there is something for everyone. And yeah, I truly believe that their customer centricity and customer obsession is unique in the industry.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because, I mean, I'm not necessarily on the Microsoft side because obviously I'm a network guy, so I deal with more Cisco and Meraki and things of those natures because where I'm at now is a complete Cisco shop for all of our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But I've had this same experience with, you know, with the Ciscos and the Merakis of the world. We get a dedicated sales guy. We get a dedicated tech rep. We get a dedicated, you know, X, Y, and Z. And if it's something that is just a question, or if it's something that it's an issue, but it's not like burning front burner, I'll open a tech case with Cisco and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Like if it's actually burning, right, then I'm like, hey, guy, you know, it's like, I need help right this second,
shoulder.
Of that nature. So I think it's about getting quicker resolutions to problems rather than I don't want to say the formality because the formality is good, right? You have to have that paper trail to say, okay, look, you called in on, July, 21st at 4 p.m. with a problem. So then 6 months later, it's, you have the same problem. It's documented. Somebody can look at that. But I think when you have issues that are sort of burning and you need somebody to reach out to and, say you're a hospital, say you're a whatever, you're an ISP, you're a bank, whatever, and something's down, you got people, it's either costing a lot of money or in some cases, some lives, whatever the case may be. I think the quicker the resolution is the thing that these vendors are striving towards. I think it's a really good step moving forward of trying, you have a problem. Okay, you have a dedicated point person to do that. And then they sort of, everybody's in a room, either on like a crash call or whatever that, case may be, depending on the severity of your issue. But I think getting quicker resolutions is where things are going. I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yes, it is. And customers expect it and they should. They absolutely should. Yep. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be resolved. They can't run their business. That is exactly why you call support. And then, if you need to tap your account manager or someone else to help and escalate and push things along, that's appropriate. And we do a lot of that, even though you know, we're there for other reasons. That's certainly a piece of what we do, and want to make sure the customer is having the best experience they can.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the customer experience and focusing on the positives has been really good the last couple of years, and it's really paid off.
Yes.
And I think it was one of those, like, the snowball sort of to roll sort of thing. So, like, one of the big guns started that, and then the other big guns were like, wow,
yeah,
that's really good. We should do that, you know?
We should do that. Yeah, let's be better at serving our customers.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Tell you, when I worked at Evolve and I had to get on the horn with Verizon or XO or Level 3, which I don't even, XO and Level 3 aren't even around anymore. They've been folded into Verizon and Lumen, I think. But trying to get on the horn with them to say your circuit isn't working, and you have proof that their circuit isn't working. Like, I remember my boss, Wally, like, just getting on the phone and just hammering these people. Like, I was just like, whoa, this is some next level stuff right here. But like it's so crazy to see how far we've come from, like, okay, screaming at a guy at XO because a circuit is down or we can't get our gear up, to now having three people in three different veins tied to just you and dedicated to you in that, what, 6 years, 7 years is crazy progress.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
So that's,
I'm happy to be part of that and see that transition in the industry. That's for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that. I like it. I think that's good. So I guess my next question, and Kyle, if you have anything, just jump in. I guess my next question is, like, where do you see your piece of the industry going? Like, I know cloud is the big one right now, right? Everybody's talking cloud, right? You got to have some sort of facet of the cloud, whether that's your dev environment or whatever, you know, what, like, I'm a big proponent of putting things in the cloud that makes sense to put them there. Like, I don't think people should rush to put everything in the cloud in 16 months and call it a day. It depends on your business and how it runs and what your actual business needs are. I think, like I said, I think a test environment or a dev environment, throw that up there all day long. No one really cares.
Yes.
I just say no one cares about it, but it's not, you know, not as mission. Right. It's a playground in most environments to, you know, like a dev, right? So throw that up there. You know, why does that need to take, you know, storage and compute in your data center? You know, on your brick and mortar data center, stop. Just throw it up there.
Just throw it up there.
Yeah. Right. I think hybrid is a good one, right? I think hybrid, a lot of people like the idea of a feel brick and mortar data center where something is down, you can go there. You have the control because you have storage locally, you have compute locally. Like, whether you're doing it VMware, I mean, most of the market's VMware, you know, who are we kidding? You know, whether you have chassis and all this kind of stuff at your brick and mortar, you know, but I think the cloud is making a bigger piece of that because of the ease of things, and especially now because I can't get gear to save my soul. It is so hard to get physical gear now.
Supply chain,
it's insanity.
Yeah, supply chain's going to be a problem for a while.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I just feel like the hybrid is the way to go because you have the best of both worlds. It's super easy to tie your on-prem and your cloud environment together nowadays through various mediums. SD-WAN or, you know, whatever. I feel like it's a huge, it's way easier than it used to be, right? So I'm curious to see your point of, like, okay, how, you know, your role is actually, you know, where is it progressing to? Where do you see people going? Is it more of a hybrid rather than on-prem and sticking things in the cloud where they make sense? What are you seeing there?
Yeah, so a couple things. I mean, yes, I think hybrid across, it's not even the word vendor, it's across providers, or, you know, really it's a multi-cloud strategy, right? So there's an on-prem piece of that. And that might be true for customers in, you know, finance, it's certainly true for customers in government, right? There's no way that you can expect a government agency to put everything in the cloud. It's just going to be so costly to do it. There's so much data, there's so much information that needs to be moved and supported. And some of the systems just won't migrate. So it makes sense for some of those to stay on-prem. I think the hybrid is the way to go. And honestly, multi-cloud strategy, meaning multi-vendor, multi-provider, is the way to go. You know, certainly platform as a service is a big piece of that. How do I fit my, to your point, how do I fit those things together? And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. So while a customer may be spending, I don't know, 10, 20% of their eligible IT budget on Microsoft, the rest of it is definitely supporting something on-prem. It's definitely supporting some other vendors and application providers. It just doesn't stop there. So Do you want to take a little bit more of that market share and that addressable market? Absolutely. So maybe I can get another 5-10% from iCloud, sure. But then the rest of those business propositions need to be supported elsewhere. So, you know, it cannot be one provider all in the cloud. That's just not sustainable. It's not a good idea. And it would just cost too much. That being said, there are plenty of migrations that you wouldn't believe still need to happen, right? I'm sure you see this, like, especially from a network perspective. How many times do you go into someone's environment? You're like, wow, you guys haven't migrated that yet? So I think you do have to have a really smart, sharp IT strategy and roadmap. And what we're doing, and to answer your question, sort of the trending has been, okay, let's take a timeout and really just do an assessment across the customer's business. Where are the applications living? Where are the hosting? You know, what does their network look like? What does their infrastructure actually offer? How can we fit pieces into the cloud? How quickly can we migrate? How expensive will it be? And then what needs to stay on-prem? And then how do we support that? And I think that's very complex and there's many facets to that, but that's one piece of it to answer your question. And then the other piece of it is, you know, from our perspective in account management, we, as I was saying earlier, we have the ability to then say, okay, wow, all right, so you started out with these, with M365, let's say. You have nothing else with us. Okay, now you're going to bring a few workloads into Azure and we're going to start supporting some of that business. Well, what does that mean? Well, I probably need to brush up on some of the applications that you're running. Okay, great. So then you can see where the position, at least in my world, can really grow into being more technical. It could be more advisory. It could be more product or solution driven, you know, around Azure, like I was saying before. Or I could go a different direction and provide the customer more of like a portfolio management style. So I think for us, our position will really continue to grow. Our role has endless possibilities. People can go into solution-based. They can do a vertical, whether it be healthcare, government, you know, media like I'm in. So that's sort of limitless, which is like I said, is super exciting. But yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it's hybrid. I think it's multi-cloud. I think it's multi-vendor. And I think there's room for everyone, right? And we just have to kind of learn to play together and use partners and leverage the relationships people have with some of these partners to bring the technology companies together to support a customer's journey. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing and that's how things are trending.
I think that's a good point. I think the multi-cloud is going to be huge, right? So in the last three jobs I've had, they've used the big three. Right. One has used Azure, one has used AWS, and one has used GCP. Right. So I think the multi-cloud is going to be huge, right? Especially if you're a cloud only place. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't have a brick and mortar data center anywhere, you're all in, let's say Azure, you know, you're gonna need to take a flyer on an AWS as maybe just use it as a DR, right? If anything, use it as a DR. Say, okay, look, if all of Azure is having issues that day, no matter what region you're in, you're kind of hobbling along on one foot. That has happened, right? So I think the multi-cloud is good. I think blending those clouds, even though they're different, you know, stamps, right, on your bill, right? Different names and different stamps. They all provide the same flexibility and what you're trying to accomplish. But I think you're right. I think there's room for everybody. Tech is certainly not slowing down anytime soon. It's not going backwards. If anything, it's accelerating at, you know, James Webb telescope speed. So, you know,
I love that. Right.
It's just insane. Well, that's the thing, right? It's just insane of how much is just out there at your fingertips, and you need to have a strategy, because if you just start throwing things at the wall sort of willy-nilly, you tend not to see the big picture, and then you're a year down the road, you're in front of a concrete wall and you got to take three steps back anyway because you didn't account for something. So I think that's where, you know, your team comes into play, or anybody's cloud account team, and say, okay, look, step back. What are you trying to do? Yeah. Let's look at a big picture, so you don't get 90% of your company working into the cloud, and then come across a roadblock and you have to rip the Band-Aid off.
That's right. And that's exactly right. I think the thing too, and some of our executives at Microsoft talk about this, like the competition is going to be there. So you can try to just continually compete.
Right.
And it's not going to work. You have to work with sometimes what they already have, or again, the notion that there's relationships in place, or there's reasons why other providers, other clouds would be appropriate for that particular, again, application or whatever it is. So it's better to work together than to try to fight this, you know, because none of us are going away. Sure. We're only, yes, we're getting more market share. We're getting better. We're servicing our customers. But that's really been the mentality and strategy. And I think even at Evolve, by the way, we felt that way too. You know, we represented many companies in that portfolio by the time you and I left. Sure. And it was always like, okay, well, if you're going to use this vendor or partner for this, we can actually help and fill another gap and let us help you with that. So I think the partner community at Microsoft, in particular in our world, is extremely valuable because these partners are seeing all the application vendors. They're seeing all the network vendors. They're seeing all the software providers, and we're all sort of fighting for the same thing. And it's like, actually, there's really room for all of you. Sure. There really truly is. Sure. There's so much to do that I think that's really what you want to end up focusing on, and where can we be best served with the customer? What do we do best? How can we be the most helpful instead of just trying to, you know, sort of fight against the fact that we didn't win a contract over a competitor? It's just not valuable. It's, you know, you're worth
silly
more
at that
than
point.
The competitor right. conversation. Exactly. Right. right.
Yeah. yeah. And honestly, I think, you know, the more competition there is in the market, right, the better it is for customers like us, right? Competition drives price down and it grows innovation within those particular companies yeah. to drive to do better. So price comes down,
right.
your service gets better. You know, and you get more innovation out of that. So I think, hey, the more competition, the better. That just helps, you know, end customers like me. So that's just, you know, that's just what that's it right. is. So now that was really good. That was really cool. And then sort of kind of changing gears here a little bit, like if you're, I don't want to say the tail end of your Evolve career, you know, probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You did a thing.
I did a thing. Yes, I did a big thing, actually.
Yes, I
did.
And you started is it a nonprofit? Is it a company? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, so it is a nonprofit. Okay.
It's an official, you got it. It's an official nonprofit.
Yeah, exactly. It is called Tech Aware. And that the idea there was to get more people, or I should say more women involved in raising awareness, educating women, that sort of thing, to get in on the careers in IT and through, you know, through various avenues, right? So volunteer work, mentorships, things of that nature. So that really kind of, you know, spoke out to me. I was like, wow, that's really cool. Why don't you touch on that a little bit and kind of do a better job at explaining it than I just did. So,
oh no, you were great. This is perfect. I love what you said, and anything goes because, you know, any support we can get, we love. So thank you for recognizing it. And yes, it is called Tech Aware. We are called Tech Aware. And I'll give you the genesis, really, which is that one of the executives at Evolve and I had worked together for so long, obviously, at Evolve. Sure. And the prior company that Evolve had that we all worked at in the late 90s was a telecommunications company called ATX.
Sure.
Anyway, so we were there together. So we had a lot of history. And he'd seen me grow up in this industry, which, by the way, I had no training on, no education on, no background, no knowledge that I would ever be in tech. When I went into college, it wasn't even something I thought I would do. I didn't even really know what it was. So anyway, he and I were just, you know, chatting over the course of working together. And he was like, you know, there's a lot going on with women in tech. And I'm like, I know. And how do I do this? And how did you're always mentoring someone or someone's coming to you for advice. And I'd be like, yeah, you too. I mean, you're so instrumental in supporting women being leaders, which he was. Mm-hmm. And many people at Evolve were, not just this one person, but he is the person who helped me to decide to do it and give me the courage to do it. So together, we went down this path of organizing some of the women at Evolve. Not all of them were leaders. Some were just in individual contributor roles, which was perfectly fine.
Sure.
And we got together and we formed a group. And we sort of did it unofficially, almost as, it wasn't a club, but almost as a, you know, a sidekick, and said, you know, kind of powered by Evolve, we've got this group of women. And then we thought, you know, well, why don't we just make it official? Like, we love Evolve and it's wonderful here, but we may not stay here forever. And this isn't just an Evolve thing. This is a thing for all of us. And yes, specifically, we do cater to women who have a tendency to be a little bit underrepresented in this particular industry. It's getting a lot better, but we are, and we were. So he said, we should open a nonprofit. I'm like, you're right. So we raised a little bit of money and we had some pro bono work given to us, which was very generous from some of the other executives that Evolved. Mm. And we started a nonprofit in 2018. So we've been open and alive for 4 years, survived COVID, which was pretty amazing. Very slim group of women and one, the same person I'm speaking of, one nail on our board. Mm. We're a working board. We raise a tiny bit of money every year to help us with our events and, you know, just support any efforts and things we need to buy just to function. So we're on a tight budget, but our goal is, our mission is to raise awareness, as you said, for women of all ages on their options for a career in tech. So this could be a woman who is already in tech and wants to advance, maybe get into leadership or do something a little bit different or change roles, which is not easy to do in tech, any industry, but specifically in tech. Mm-hmm. And it all, or it could be a woman or someone on the, you know, early stage of their career who doesn't even know how to get into tech. And through mentorship programs that we offer and different events that we do, we bring people together to match them up, give them someone to help them along. And it has been very rewarding. And we have, I don't actually have all the data points in front of me, I probably should, but you know, let's say out of the 10 or 20 women that we were able to work with in a short period of time, at least 5 to 7 of them, each time we work with them, will either find a job, move forward in some way, or make some decisions that have impacted their career, which is so rewarding for all of us. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I guess, can we say the guy's name on here? Do you think he'd care? I don't know.
I think we could say his name and then I can ask him if he's okay to be on it and you would edit it out if we need to.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, so Guy Fardone is actually one of our board members and one of the co-founders. And he has been supportive of us, you know, from day one and still very active, has introduced us and helped us network. And we've gained access to places like Westchester University. One of our other board members, Jill Alsbach, she's our vice president. She has us getting in front of Widener University coming up in the fall. And I'll give you guys these dates so we can certainly let the world know what's going on.
Absolutely.
We'll be speaking at these schools in their tech centers to talk to women about what they need to do to, you know, to move themselves forward. And here's what happens. What happens is a lot of times women, young girls in middle school, high school will be interested in something tech related. It could even be a STEM program. And sadly, what can happen is for various reasons, they may not stay in the program or they may finish the program, but then actually not gain employment in what it is they just learned or a degree that they just got. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of research around this. You know, we could talk about that maybe next time. But what happens is they fall out. So what we're trying to do in a very grassroots approach is just keep them there, you know, just encourage them to stay there and show them what they can do to get the foot in the door, put the toe in the water and, you know, grab a position that might be open and just get an entry point into a company. Now, some of the STEM programs and some of these, you know, tech centers at, you know, Westchester and even Widener, of course, they're really good because they actually do help these women get placed in programs, jobs. So they're doing a great job there. But so they're actually, we're going to help them just solidify that and, you know, polish up the messaging and help them grow their programs. And those women are probably going to be the ones that help us go into the middle schools and the high schools and keep these girls interested in tech. You know, that's really where we need to focus.
Yep.
And, you know, and actually on the other end of the career is sort of at the later stage, maybe when women are looking for a change, or maybe they're, I don't know, they're having families or things are changing in their lives, even if they are single and get married or just whatever dynamic they go through, whatever life event that happens, we often find that maybe what they entered into is not where they want to end up. So now how do they advance? How do they ask for promotions? How do they realize the pay scale that they should be getting, you know, titles and recognition? Awards, things like that. So there can be some gender work that we do, although we're not really focused or driven by that. It is a reality of what we do. And we have to deal with workplace dynamics as well.
Sure.
And help women navigate some of those situations.
Sure.
And vice versa, by the way, we've mentored men who have had this similar struggles. Like, well, how do I do this? Like, what do I do with my resume? How do I do my LinkedIn profile? So we even get down to brass tacks when it comes to stuff like that, just to help people to have a better presence in what is really a virtual world. It's really hard to stand out these days,
sure,
especially if you're not in person as much as we used to be.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think this podcast and you're in TechAware are very much aligned as far as trying to help people, trying to get to that, you know, core audience of, okay, right, you know, middle school, high school, you know, college career development department, right? For lack of a better word, say, hey, you know, get in there and say, hey, we have this podcast, you know, we're here to help, you know, tech people. Now, whether that, you know, that academic department of college career development department, whatever they call it, now, whether they pass it along down to professors that teach said courses, that's a different story, but at least that's a foot in the door. And I think everyone on this show would agree that there's enough work for everybody. It's just what it is, right? So, you know, there's no shortage of work going around. So, and like I said, we're very involved in Twitter, and that's where most of our kind of crowd hangs, you know, at the water cooler, that kind of thing. But it's very, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of women now getting into tech. Cybersecurity is a huge field for women. Yes. Like they're really starting to really kind of kick butt in that aspect. So, you know, whether that's a pen tester, whether that's, you know, red team, blue team, mm-hmm. purple team, whatever, like I just see a lot of women just in networking field, security field, you know, trying to get those certifications and, you know, just kind of climb that ladder. But it's much more prevalent now than what it was. Cause, you know, Kyle and I went to college together. Right. And so, you know, I don't know about you, Kyle, but I remember that there was a few women in some of our Cisco courses and whatnot at various points. And then just like one day they just weren't there. And I was just like, oh, all right. Just like one less person like in the class, but like, it's, you know, now looking back at them, like that really sucks.
you might have actually experienced. Yeah. What I was saying. Well, and you know what? And this other thing is there's a lot of women doing, you know, low code, no code entry points into programming and things like that and application development. Sure. I mean, think about GitHub being this, you know, open platform and many others, by the way, you know, that where you can just developers can just go and do stuff. The thing is, there's a lot of women who can do that from home, right? Yeah. And they can have a family, they can do these things and they can learn so quickly now because the entry point is, it's not that it's easier, but it's accessible. And that's what we want to do. We want to make all of this accessible to everyone.
Sure.
And it's, again, not just about women, but certainly that is our focus. You know, as a woman in tech and as a mom of three and a career woman, it's been very hard at times mm-hmm. for me to even, it's not about being promoted or doing more. I was going to do that anyway. Maybe some recognition or just navigating situations too. I mean, that's such a big topic for us. Like, how do I do this? How do I say this? How do I advocate for myself? Yep. I think that's probably true in any industry, but in our industry in particular, a lot of times the credentials go to the people who have the technical chops or the expertise.
Yep.
And believe it or not, a lot of women have that.
Sure.
They just don't know how to portray it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's a good point.
Yeah. So we do a lot of that.
I think that's really good as far as what you're sort of, you know, building there. Yes. And you have a Women Wine and Tech events that you do.
Yes.
I'm particularly interested in that one. Yeah.
Yes. You should definitely come to the next one. So really what ended up happening, thank you for highlighting that. What ended up happening was when we sort of launched TechAware, we were like, okay, let's make this like a big thing. As you said, you know, Evolve was a very fun, open culture. And we did have a lot of events, you know, for partners, customers, whatever. So we decided to essentially celebrate and kind of open up and show everybody who we were by having a Women Wine and Tech event, which case what we did was, and again, same person, you know, who helped us start the organization happens to be a sommelier, very interested in wine and food. And he was like, listen, I can do some wine pairings and you guys can talk about tech and what it's like to be a woman and, you know, all of these great things. We could talk about what, you know, how to help them advance their careers and we can have a great night of it. And we did that the first time I think it was 2018. It would have been when we first launched TechAware. I think we invited, I want to say 250 women in the region, and we had like 150 show up at, you know, we had a pretty big office, but it wasn't that huge. So, you know, we filled the whole, you know, reception and kitchen area and conference room, and that was super fun. So we had, you know, 7 wines, different regions. They're mostly women owned or operated or wineries, you know, where women were actually running the organization or had founded the winery, which was really great. So women sourced 7 worldwide wines and it was incredible. So they're like, okay, we're going to come back for more. Well, what came out of that was our mentorship program, our relationship with Tech Girls, which is an organization that we work with almost every weekend. We staff and offer workshops for middle school girls. And by the way, this is specific to middle school girls, offering them workshops related to technology. And they do everything from programming to podcasting to, you know, gaming and all kinds of things. It's great. They're about 2.5 hours long and they need instructors. So they were like, okay, let's partner up. This would be really great. You guys could be one of our premier, you know, instructor-led groups. So we started doing those. And that led to other organizations asking us to participate in some of their events as well. So Women Wine and Tech was sort of our like signature event. And then we did it again and did the same thing. And blew it out of the water, you know, invited, you know, 200-300 people, had another 175 show up, and that was really great. And that year in 2019 was right before COVID. So it was like literally 2 months before COVID hit. And that particular time was really instrumental because we realized that we could do a lot more in one evening than we could do in weeks of work. Networking that happened that night was incredible. And what we ended up noticing was we kind of made it like a career fair where people could stop at different tables with different partners and get support from resume building, LinkedIn profile, to financial planning, to again, volunteer opportunities. So we actually kind of made it more of like a career fair, if you will, and had the wine tasting along with that. And that was great. And then I was lucky enough this year as a new employee at Microsoft to have their support of using their technology center. We didn't actually go inside the tech center. It was actually up in, you know, in the sort of open areas at their Malvern, Pennsylvania location. And they let us use the space for no charge, which was great. And we did the same thing. And this year we did it in March and we offered headshots. We hired a photographer and there were 120 people. 79 headshots were done that night in within like 2 hours. And I mentioned that type of stuff because, again, how can we give back just from a very grassroots perspective? And that's how we can do it.
Sure.
You know, you come in, you enjoy the night with us, you have some wine, you talk to different people about what, you know, what you might need. And, you know, doing headshots for people that can use it on their LinkedIn profile or Twitter or Instagram or whatever they can do to help promote themselves. I mean, people don't have the time and the money to do that kind of stuff. So we did that. And then we had resume building, like actively there that night working on resumes. And we had a group of women come to us from Temple University asking us to do the same thing with their career fair in the fall. So it's just the amount of work that can come out of just one night's event is just fantastic. And so I'll end with this. What ended up happening was the one of the regional vice presidents was there, which I didn't expect. From Microsoft that night, they happened to have an all-day meeting in one of the offices, and they stayed for a couple of hours to check out the event. And, you know, they didn't really know me that well because I'm a new employee, and they're like, oh, let's check this out. Let's see what's going on. And I kind of walked through with them and ended up gaining, you know, provisional approval to essentially have Microsoft do this with TechAware starting this fall. And we will take it to 4 cities. We're going to do it in DC. We'll do it in Boston. We'll do it in New York City. And again, here in Malvern, which is just spectacular.
That's amazing.
So we're working on the details of that. Yeah, we have, you know, a lot of work to do to kind of get that launched, but we'll take this across 4 cities in the Northeast region and have Microsoft kind of sponsor it with us, which is spectacular.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And here's my shameless plug. If you need Kyle and I's help in any facet,
you do.
Let us know. Yeah.
Please come and help us because we are, again, yes, we are a nonprofit. And, you know, we toy with the idea. One time we did charge tickets. We charged a price for the ticket to help us, you know, kind of cover costs. We may or may not do that again. It just sort of depends on how many sponsors we get. You know, people want to donate wine, people want to donate food. So we got to work through all those details. But we do need help. I mean, we really physically just need like labor, but we also need people to help us, you know, sort of usher around that night and help people make sure they visited all the booths, they visited all the partners. Did they get enough out of the night? You know, did you try this wine? Can I take you over to the finance table? Can I help you get your headshot? Like just all that kind of stuff, because it's a really busy event and everyone's just kind of giving, you know, their time, energy, and, you know, we just sort of all pull together and do it. And there's really only 5 of us who organize these things. So yes, we're looking to expand our committee for sure. And we will need some strength and some willingness to be on your feet for a few hours. I'd love to have you guys help us in Malvern. So it's only like an hour from you.
Listen,
so you could totally come down.
I have an office in Malvern. I can work there for the day and then just meet you down there.
Perfect. So it's all done. You guys are in.
We're off of.
Yeah. So thank you for that. And we'll definitely, we need to be a little bit more active on Twitter than we are now, but we'll definitely do some promotional stuff and really start, I'd say at the end of August, we'll start pushing out, you know, a lot of our notifications and start looking to, you know, get our tickets and registrations going. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting.
All right, speaking of that, we're right around the hour mark, which is kind of where we like to keep this just for brevity's sake. But where can people find either you, TechAware, things of that nature? Plug your socials. Go for it.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so definitely check us out. We're techaware.tech. So TechAware.tech. And when you're on the site, just click the contact us button and all those emails actually come to me directly or our vice president. We personally answer every email or conversation that comes our way on Instagram, which is actually relatively larger for us right now than Twitter. You got to help me with the Twitter stuff.
Wow.
We're at TechAware_. So all together, TechAware_. And on Twitter, we're at TechAware01.
There you go. Look at that.
So come and see us.
And
thank
for
you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely. If anybody's interested in their socials, Nikki and TechAware, they'll all be in the show notes of this episode. So it's one easy click. Keep an eye out on our Twitter. We'll certainly plug their stuff. That's phenomenal. So Nikki, this has been awesome.
Thanks.
Really, this has been so cool.
Thank you.
We appreciate
good to see
you. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be seen, right?
And good to meet you, Kyle. Yeah. Yes, it's good to be seen.
Good to meet you too.
I love your background.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Hey, I'm on Teams every day, right? So backgrounds are like a big thing for us. And I was in here, I was like, okay, there's no background. This is real. Like you see me in my little box that
I'm
in every day.
That's it.
Yeah. So no, you guys have been amazing. Thanks for the support and the constant, just love and care that you've given me over the years. I really appreciate it. And I'd love to come back, when we have more to share about the event and the other things that we're doing and spend some more time with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been awesome. Nikki, thanks. Really appreciate you coming out.
Thank you so much.
And hanging and telling the world what you're doing. This is awesome. And yeah, let us know when you're going to you get a little closer to details and stuff worked out. We'll plug it here. We'll plug it on our socials. So wherever we can help, we can certainly help and maybe get a body down there or whatever. Or use our little bit of our influence that we have in the world to certainly do some good. But yeah, it's been awesome.
I love it. Thank you.
So, all right, everybody, we're going to get out of here. Guys. Absolutely. We're going to get out of here this week. Thanks again to Nikki for joining. This has been fantastic. Thanks for joining this week on Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Make sure you check out TechAware. Like we said, techaware.tech. They're also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. All that stuff will be in the show notes with direct links so you don't miss them. Tech Girls as well. That'll be in our show notes as well because they're a partner over there with Nikki and TechAware. So they're really doing some great things out there in the space. So check out our website, BreakingBytesPod.io. You can subscribe to the show right from there. We have every link that you could possibly think of, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or if you just need a plain RSS feed, we have those there too. Throw us a rating on iTunes. That'd be awesome. We always like the ratings and the little stars that they give us. That always makes us feel warm and fuzzy. So it's all good there. Or simply tell a friend, right? The word of mouth works just as good nowadays in the tech-driven world that we all seem to be living and sometimes drowning in, right? So I think we would agree to that. The word of mouth is just as good, sometimes even better. So again, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff will be in the show notes for us. The Discord server that we have, that's out there. The invite's in the show notes. So come say hello. And that's going to be it. Kyle, thanks, man. It's been awesome. Really good. Nikki, as always, good to see you. And we'll be in touch for some further cool stuff. So you never know. So stay tuned, everybody. And we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks. Take care.
So long.
Bye, guys.